This program is brought to you by the Genesis Communications Network, a world leader in talk radio since 1998. Visit GCNlive.com today.
List and making it twice or three times or more. It is the season. You can tell because I don't care if you live in a rural area or a decent-sized city. Notice the uptick in the traffic. What is that? Happy Hanukkah, Kwanzaa, and everything else that everybody celebrates in between whatever it is that you celebrate. Hopefully you get to chillax and have a couple of days to rest and hang with family and friends or just get a chance to rest and watch some great ball games or movies. Donald Trump is not going to rest until he frees himself from what is now happening, and it might be tough. In this case, the Trump Organization was found guilty of criminal tax fraud on Tuesday, and now the former Prez's real estate company could face a $1.6 million fine. But this is the meat of it. The Trump org was convicted on 17 counts, tax fraud, falsifying business records, conspiracy, related crimes. They had 2 days of deliberations in this Manhattan Supreme Court. And what has come out of this is that there were people who were employed who, off the books, cars, other things being paid, the kids' private schools, that kind of thing, off-the-book rent and luxury cars, like I said. And so all of that, none of that was taxed. Alan Weiselberg, who is the former Trump CFO, testified that it was his own personal greed that led to this case. That's what he said. He admitted that even after Donald Trump's children, Eric and Donald Trump Jr., found out in 2017 that he and other executives were cheating on taxes, they weren't penalized. Instead, Weiselberg is currently on a leave of absence and is getting paid $640,000 in salary from the company. And he was given a $200,000 raise. He's going to do jail time. That's definitely for sure with him. But what happens otherwise in the rest of this case, because now there's a case, right? He pled guilty to raking in $1.7 million in benefits that he didn't report to on his taxes. So he's got a 5-month prison sentence in exchange for his cooperation with the government. But the New York Attorney General, Lydia James, has won a $250 million civil case against the company, and including Trump and his children, Ivanka, Eric, and Don Jr., for allegedly inflating company assets. So what does it mean? I mean, that's the key. What's the fallout from this? And not even forget the whole political thing. What is the fallout when it comes to skirting the taxes and who signed the checks and all those things in that will play up into this? And we'll watch and see what happens with the dominoes and where they go and where they ultimately fall. Whether or not it falls squarely on the president, doesn't fall on the president, but ends up in a big fine, which that definitely is going to happen, the fine thing. Georgia went the way of the Democrats. Raphael Warnock wins the Senate seat again, so they have the majority. They don't require that power-sharing agreement with the Republicans. The Republicans, of course, won the House, and now it's just another seat, but it's a seat that they don't have to use that option because they have Warnock. So Warnock takes it 51.3% to Herschel Walker's 48.7%. percent. So this was still, people were voting for Herschel Walker. And enough voted for Warnock this time around that he took it, because neither one of them had 50%. That's why they had to do the whole runoff thing. And what it ultimately means is just that it's another Democrat on the Hill. But what does it mean for Donald Trump, who's running for president? Because you look at the Republicans, and the race closes out a difficult midterm for the Republicans, who, like I said, won the House majority, but saw the hopes for Capitol Hill dominance dashed by some of the candidates who didn't win that the former president backed. So, you know, it's always about that coattail thing and how big are your coattails and all of that. And I think that creates that opening that we've talked about for just watch from the sidelines for the governor of Florida, Ron DeSantis, to, if he decides to do it and is convinced and wants to do it and all of that, to sweep in and perhaps get that Republican nomination. That would not be a shocker, I think, if that happened. Boy, I feel badly for the people who are still without power because of the wackadoodles, one or two or however many, who shot up two substations. I mean, tens of thousands of customers in Central North Carolina haven't had power since Sunday. The hope is, and some people have had some have had some electricity restored, but, you know, they got to calibrate the equipment that they have. That's, they're working as fast as they can in Moore County, for example, but there's only so much that they can do. So what's happened is it's difficult. Schools are closed through Thursday, 4 days, no classes. It's a holiday, so then they got to hurry up and play catch up if they have exams or whatever. Businesses are shut down because they didn't have generators. Maybe some did. If they did, they were open. And then you had people that had to figure out ways to charge their devices, keep warm, all the things that you normally wouldn't worry about when you have electricity. It just illustrates the dependence, once again, on electricity and what happens when you have an attack on your substation, the grid, you know, whatever it might be. The fire department is saying, look, we've seen more car crashes because of the lack of traffic lights. And then people trying to keep warm do things they don't realize they're not supposed to do, and they've had some fires that they wouldn't normally have. And then there's people with oxygen or other medical devices where they're stuck because they require power. You know, I mean, if anything, when we hear about things like this, if you don't have a go bag, if you don't have a plan, you should make a plan. Hopefully it never happens, never happens. But what if it does? Boom, you are ready to go. I mean, even the basics. Do you know where your flashlights are? Do you have something you can grab? I mean, look, our cell phones have lights. But what happens to your home when things shut down? Do you go in and out of electronic gates? Are they shut down? Do you live in a place where you have dependency on an elevator and you're on a higher floor? Do you have to walk down because the elevator is out? I mean, there's all these things that sometimes you just don't think about. And as we feel for the people and what's going on there, even somebody died, they found them dead in their home because of the lack of electricity. It's something to think about and have some kind of a plan should that happen in your area. Speaking of you, your thoughts coming up next as we hit the mailroom.
If you're like most Americans, you can see things are out of control. Global problems have local consequences, too many of them. And if the next news headline spins us into chaos, you'd better be ready. Grocery store supply chains are only as strong as their weakest link. Don't wait for them to break. Today's the day to secure emergency food for everyone in your family. My Patriot Supply is America's largest preparedness company. Our specially packaged and delicious food stays fresh for up to 25 years in storage. It'll be there when you need it. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com and pick up several emergency food kits. There are a dozen different sizes that average over 2,000 calories per day. As we all know, calories equals energy equals survival. And as you'd expect from a true preparedness company, our food kits are in stock and ship quickly. Those who know what's coming are preparing today. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com. MyPatriotSupply.com.
If you're concerned about the power grid and want to generate your own supply of off-grid electricity, this will be the most important message you'll hear this year. Here's why. We now have a small number of solar generators back in stock. These emergency backup systems provide life-saving backup power when you need it most. And unlike gas generators, solar generators run quietly, emit no dangerous fumes, and produce an endless supply of free electricity from the sun. Whether it's wildfires, dangerous weather, power grid issues, or just getting off the grid, you'll never have to suffer through painful power outages again. Even better, all this week, radio listeners get over $700 in free off-the-grid bonuses, too. Go to MySolarBackup.com to learn more and check availability. That's MySolarBackup.com. Look for the free report, Crisis Cooling, how to make absolutely sure your meat, milk, and medicines stay safe and cool in any power outage. Yours free at MySolarBackup.com.
Ever feel completely down on your luck, whether it's your career or just your life? Do you look at other people and wonder, why them, not me? I'm Kate Delaney. I did it. I admit it. I've learned some valuable and priceless lessons from some of the rock stars I've interviewed over the years, like Sir Richard Branson or the late, great John Madden, and I want to share them. Want to laugh? Want to learn? Want more out of life? Then pick up a copy of my book, Heal Your Own Destiny, Increase Your Odds, Win Big, and Become Extraordinary. Get it on Amazon today.
The Tahibo Tea Club's original pure Paudi Arco Super Tea naturally builds good cells and kills bad cells. So, it's great for healthy people, and it can truly be miraculous for someone fighting an infection, diabetes, or cancer. To order, visit drinksupertea.com or call 818-965-9113. That's drinksupertea.com. 818-965-9113. drinksupertea.com.
You have mail, mistress.
What? Dig in the mailbag.
All right, let's just dive right in. Thanks to everybody for sending me an overwhelming amount of emails, as always. You can do the same thing, 24/7, Kate at katedelaneyradio.com. Max, Kate, I watched Team USA, the men, fail and flub to the Netherlands, and I have to say it was kind of interesting. It's not my bag, but I wanted to support the guys. I heard you talking about it. So my question is, I'm not watching it now, but where does the World Cup stand? Who's left? Great question. I haven't even really talked about that. They're now in the quarterfinals, so you have Croatia and Brazil, and all these games are coming up in the next couple of days. You've got the Netherlands, who beat the U.S. against Argentina, and Messi, the famous player. This is probably his last. Lionel Messi, who's a huge superstar in the soccer world. It's probably his last World Cup, so we'll see what happens in that one. England versus France, can you imagine? I'm thinking, who else is left? Morocco and Portugal. They're, I think really Morocco was kind of a surprise. I never heard anything about them, and they're, and not that I know a lot about soccer, but I never heard of them being one of the powerhouses. I think they're one of the surprise teams. In fact, I know they would be one of the surprise teams. Then you've got, well, that's it, because that would be eight, right? So, because Morocco and Portugal, yeah. So that's it. Anyway, that's where it stands, and those games are like Friday, Saturday. I think there's one on Sunday, and then they just narrow it down from there. It's not the same thing, right, without the U.S. in it, unless you're just a diehard soccer fan. All right, this one from Joseph. Kate, the news is Warnock. I'm not surprised. Why in the world did the Republicans ever put forth back or in any way think that Herschel Walker was going to beat him? There had to be better Republicans that could have run for that spot. not. So shame on them, because that should not have happened in the first place. Walker might have been an incredible athlete, but he fumbled, bumbled his way around. And I think the people who voted for him just didn't want to vote for Democrats. And I'm a Republican. I get it. But there was just too much not there with Walker. That's a case of someone who has fame, and we get it, but someone who should not be in the middle of it. It's just as bad when you have a political machine of the same old political people, but it's just as bad when you throw in people who are unqualified because they have some sort of celebrity. I think we're learning those lessons. Hear, yeah. I agree. It was problematic. I mean, listen, I talked to Walker probably in my career probably three times about football. He's friendly. I talked to him once at a Cowboy game. I talked to him another time, I think it was in New York, and then another time at a Super Bowl. And he was great. He was great to talk football with, friendly. People knew him, liked him, all that. But that doesn't mean then all the personal things that fall out, all the baggage that comes out, doesn't mean that he would have been great in that role for Georgia. And then somebody could come back and say, well, what does it take for him to be in that spot? Because look at what other people are doing. Okay, so let's move to Timothy, who says, I loved this one. Timothy says, that's why follow-ups are important. Timothy says, Kate, remember the story that you talked about, the social media person who stupidly smashed a golf ball into the Grand Canyon? Whatever happened to her? Did she get fined? Yeah, you're talking about Katie Sigmund. So she does, because of course you're going to get, people are going to look at your TikTok. She's a TikTok person. You're going to get TikTok views when you do crazy things. She hit that golf ball into the Grand Canyon, which could be deadly for someone. Luckily, it was not deadly. But because of that, and I guess it was in October when she did that. So because of that, she got fined. I just want you to think for a minute. What do you think she got fined? She smashed a golf ball into the Grand Canyon, which, by the way, could carry a maximum fine of $5,000 and 6 months in prison. So this is what she got. A $285 fine. That's it. Are you kidding? She spends that for lunch. So that's what she got. So she was fine, and she was charged with three misdemeanor offenses, but that's it. That's it. That's all she got. So she's lucky, because they certainly could have at least made the fine higher, but they didn't. All right, this one is from Raymond, and he says, Kate, I've been traveling with my family, and I kept seeing these signs when I would go through the crazy TSA experience about these real ID requirements, you know, those stars, and I do have them. My wife has them on our driver's licenses because we moved and so we had them on there. But I'm wondering, I thought I heard something about that requirement now is being extended or something. Has it been extended? You know what? That was a big story today, that instead of it kicking in, which it should have already been kicked in, it's not going to be required. It's going to be delayed 2 years. It's not going to happen until 2025. So I've been seeing those signs, too, forever, 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 the star on the top of the card. And passports and other things can still be accepted. But we kept hearing, this is it. You better do it. I mean, there were so many warning signs pumped out in all the different airports. You have to have the real ID. How do you get the real ID? Because you need to provide the documentation for it. And lo and behold, it's, again, another delay. Apparently, the thought is not enough people are going to have it, so it's going to become a nightmare on the other side of it. And too bad for everybody who just tried to comply with the nonsense, because it was being pumped out to us, force-fed in all the airports for the fear that people wouldn't have it, which that makes sense. But then there were people that just, you know, did it because they knew they were going to get stuck, and so it just gets extended again. Typical, right? Ugh. Typical. And that just that story just actually happened, so you were right. You probably caught that somewhere, just caught a piece of it. All right, and then finally, this last one, this is from Alice Kate. I saw that in this day in history, it was the completion of the Washington Monument in 1884. I thought that was a fun fact that I would share with you. That is a fun fact. I've been to, and hopefully some of you have been to the Washington Monument. I think there's nothing like seeing the monuments at night. You can see them during the day, too, but at night, when you if you get a chance to tour D.C. So, yeah, it's an incredible thing to see. I mean, it's just this pyramid into the sky, and it was erected for George Washington. So there was conversation about he should have some kind of monument, and that's what the monument ended up being. And it's there's some interesting facts about it, though, too. They had to do this private society. They had to form that because they had a design competition, and then they ultimately chose Robert Mills, the architect. They chose his design, which was kind of like this like elaborate Greek temple design. And then they had fundraisers because they had to have the money for the construction of it. And they actually raised a lot of money, but it was not enough of what they needed, because you think of the 1800s, they needed $1 million then. But construction started without enough money in 1848. What's wild is the cornerstone of the monument is this pure, a block of pure white marble. Guess how much that marble weighs? 24,500 pounds. Yeah, but they didn't have the money. I've toured this thing so many times. They didn't have the money. So construction ultimately was stopped, and then the Civil War started, and it was like a bizarre, unfinished monument. Like, it just looked like, I guess it was Mark Twain said it was like a oversized chimney that was hollowed out, and it didn't come back again until President Grant authorized construction to be completed. And now, of course, there's an elevator, you get up, that's how you get up to the top, and they have probably just under 1 million people that go and visit the monument every year. It's neat. I think it's neat. Thank goodness it's not this hollowed out thing, and of course it was going to naturally be finished. But the history behind it, I think, is fascinating. So thanks for bringing that up. Any thoughts? Send them to me, Kate at Kate Delaney Radio. Next.
Frustrated trying to get business capital? Want to take the slow process and rejection out of the equation? GCNLoans.com removes the slow, irritating approval process. Instead, get quick, simple funding. Powered by David Allen Capital, 80% of our pre-qualified clients are approved in days. Pre-qualify at GCNLoans.com and get your money this week. It's that easy. GCNLoans.com. That's GCNLoans.com.
Hey, Jimmy, turn off the video games. Let's go play some ball.
I'm in the middle of my game. Can't we go later?
Come on, it'll be fun. It will be there when you get back.
Okay, but there's no way you're going to win.
Why don't you grab some water and granola bars, and then we'll see about that.
You can make a difference. Eat smart, play hard. And when you do, your kids will too. A challenge from USDA.
For listening to GCN. Be sure to visit GCNLive.com today.
USA Radio News.
The results are in. The Associated Press has projected Democratic Senator Raphael Warnock will defeat Republican challenger Herschel Walker in Georgia's high-stakes Senate runoff election. While the Senate majority has already been decided, Warnock's victory in the last ballot box showdown of the 2022 midterm elections gives the Democrats a 51-49 margin. Here's Senator Raphael Warnock speaking to his constituents after the projected win.
I'm ready to build a stronger Georgia. God bless you. Keep the faith and keep looking up.
Breaking a record for the Peach State, 1.9 million Georgians voted ahead of time. Walker, in a concession speech in Atlanta, emphasized that we put up one heck of a fight. This is USA Radio News.
I had no idea it would destroy my life, but before it happened, I had a successful business in Austin, Texas. Everyone laughed at me when I shut that business down, but I could not ignore the wake-up call. I was volunteering on a project to get locally grown food into a school. That project was a complete failure, and I discovered that there were few local farmers, there's only 4 days worth of food in the grocery stores, and everything comes 1,500 miles via a just-in-time trucking system. I lost friends and family who told me I was crazy to worry about that, but I kept at it. I'm Marjorie Wildcraft. Those of us who know what's going on in the world know you need to become self-reliant before the dollar collapses. I've created a free webinar at gcnfood.com. I can show you, like I've shown hundreds of thousands of people, how to grow lots of food, even if you have no experience, you're older, or you're out of shape. Do it now, before the stores are boarded up and food is not available at any price. Go to gcnfood.com. gcnfood.com.
Stop aging now. Restore those joints. Boost your strength. Because it's official. NutriMedical has released the most exciting, powerful anti-aging supplement on the market. Dr. Bill Deagle's Red Deer Velvet DR has been approved by the U.S. Patent Office. Imagine stem cell rejuvenation all in one capsule without huge expense. Dr. Bill MD discovered that as an unborn baby grows in the mother's womb, he or she does not deteriorate or physically age. Red Deer Velvet DR, like the uterus, provides 300 biomolecules and 6 hormones protected in one special DR capsule that delivers lipid packages directly into your circulation. This patented technology bypasses the stomach and is released into the small bowel unaltered by digestive enzymes and stomach acid. Remember, Red Deer Velvet DR. Improve endurance, stimulate your immune system, increase learning ability, and even improve sexual libido with Red Deer Velvet DR. Click NutriMedical.com. That's NutriMedical.com. Or call toll-free 888-212-8871 and get on the road to a newer, rejuvenated, happier you.
So the name of the book is Under the Boab Tree, and the author, Francesca Jordan, is with us, and her journey from what happened in South Africa to ultimately ending up in a beautiful spot in Australia, and what happened in between is absolutely inspiring and fascinating. So we're going to tell you a little bit about this book, and then I think you should go and buy it because it is a very, very good read. Francesca, thanks for joining us.
It's my delight. Thank you, Kate.
So tell me first about your childhood and what South Africa was like.
Right. So I was born at a time when the national government came in, which is the government that brought in apartheid. And it's really a land soaked in blood, and it's a lot of violence and still is, unfortunately. So my childhood, I was born into a very, really unusual parents because my mother's a Jewish woman whose parents came from Lithuania, and they escaped the pogroms and anti-Semitism when Lithuania was part of Russia, and they went to South Africa. They met there and married. And then my mother, there's this, a little bit in the book, you'd have to read it to get the full story, had the love of her life who had to leave Africa. And then 6 months later, she met my father, Charles Jordan, who turned out to be a very violent alcoholic. And he comes from the Boer, the Afrikaans Calvinistic background. His parents were farmers. So you couldn't really meet two people who were more different and from totally different political perspectives, values, religion, you name it. It was there.
Wow. And, you know, I think of the title, and I think it's important to tell people the significance of the title of the book. Why the title?
Well, as a child, you know, there was a lot of violence in the home, and I used to climb this tree in the garden to get away from the violence. And my mother and father and my sister and they would often come out of the house and start looking for me because they wanted to know where I was. And I would just sit up in the branches, hidden amongst the branches, and I wouldn't let on where I was, and I wouldn't respond to their calls because the tree is my sanctuary. And its trees are still my sanctuary, and I called the tree in the book Boa Boa. Because he somehow has a he, but you know, they're androgynous, actually. Baobabs are androgynous. And I call him my nature mother and particularly father. So the tree became my nature mother and father.
Wow. I mean, what a beautiful story, but you're escaping something that's happening too. And this book really, you and I talked off the air, is in a sense too a tribute to your mother and maybe so many other women who are really heroes for so much of what they had to deal with in South Africa and survived it and thrived and worried about their children and did what they could, right?
Yes, absolutely. I term my mother as an unsung hero because a lot of the freedom fighters and trade unions in Africa, there were men and women in the movement, but often it's the men's story that has been told. And the women's stories need to be out there. And I've written this book in honor of my mother and in honor of all women who are the ones who are the sustainers of family life.
Yeah.
You know, they, as we all know, they do more than one job. They go outside and work from the home, and then they do so much in the home. They're the ones who set up the social circle, the schools, the home life, you know, for their children. So they need more acknowledgement in the world, Kate.
Yes, absolutely, Francesca. Absolutely, 100%. And you can get this book, by the way, on Amazon, Barnes & Noble, wherever great books are sold. So you're in South Africa, you're growing up, you're dealing with your alcoholic father and violence, and you've got this marvelous tree where you can escape to, and you're watching how your mother handles things. And then when you get older, what happens?
Well, you know, I was fortunate when I was really quite young to have a wonderful woman in my life. She was, like, in South Africa. It's often the African women who are the carers in the home, the nannies in the home, and she was the one who gave me the love and nurturing and protection I needed in the home. And she's forever in my heart. And yeah, so that for me is actually a happy memory, is the love that I received from her.
And then when you get married and you have children, how long do you stay in South Africa and when do you decide, okay, it's time to move, we have to make this decision?
Okay, all right. So even before, so I got actually married in Zimbabwe, which used to be called Rhodesia. I went to university in Salisbury, which is now called Harare. And my husband's a bit of a restless soul and he decided he wanted to leave journalism. And we went to live in a Cabinda, which is in Angola, but Cabinda's between the two Congos. It's an enclave between Congo Kinshasa and Congo Brazzaville. So we lived up in the Mayombe forest, which was a fascinating life, but also quite dangerous because the Portuguese were fighting the communists, Portuguese soldiers. And I looked after two baby chimps. So there's a whole chapter on my life in Angola. And then we moved back to South Africa, and it was after the Soweto riots that my ex-husband and I thought we really didn't want to bring up children with all this violence. and apartheid and the brutality. So because he was born in New Zealand, we moved back to New Zealand, where he has a large family. And then from New Zealand, we moved to Australia.
And what has life been like in Australia?
Well, I love it. I love, Australia has its problems. You know, we have First Nations people here who also weren't treated and still aren't treated right. So there's a lot still to be done in Australia. But when I came to Australia, a lot of the books and movies were banned when I left South Africa. So it was a feast for me to read and all these books that had been banned and see these movies that had been banned. It was a real, in some ways, a cultural shock, but an opening, you know, and I could expand my thinking and my exposure to so many other thoughts and values.
When people read your book, what do you hope they take away from reading your book, people listening to our conversation?
Well, I've been told that it's a book that inspires hope and is very inspirational. It's a book of how two women have overcome adversity and found stillness and love and given love and received love. So that's what I hope. And it's a cultural and scenic journey from Africa to Australia, to a forest in Australia, the D'Agula National Park, that my house overlooks.
Oh, which is just a beautiful, beautiful area. I can certainly attest to that. When you think of South Africa now, what do you think of South Africa?
Well, I went back in 2016 to do research for my book, and I spoke to a lot of the freedom fighters and trade unionists during my mother's time and after her time. And unfortunately, when Mandela was there, it was very well, you know, he was an exceptional man who was very respectful to every culture, every race. But there's been corruption, really severe corruption now in Australia, and the violence, the crime rate is horrendous. It's a very beautiful country, Kate, and the people are very hospitable and loving. And there's a lovely chapter of when I go back in 2016 to South Africa of the people I meet, and the really very deep and meaningful and loving relationships that I have with the people that I'm while I'm there.
Yeah. Well, it's a beautiful story, and you tell so many, like you say, you take us on a ride through many aspects of the ups and downs of life and how you come out on the other side, and two women, as you said, in surviving and then I think really thriving, because I think you certainly have thrived in what you've done in your life and career too as well.
Yes. No, I feel I have, and I've been told that, and I was one of the pioneers in setting up the Alzheimer's Association in Queensland, which is the state I live in Australia and internationally. So I've done lots of research. I've published at least 5 research-based academic books and numerous articles. So my labor of love really has been working with people with disability, the aged, and people with mental health issues. That's been my labor of love.
Well, this book is a wonderful book, and you said going back doing research, etc., and I think it is a book that can touch people on many, many levels. And as I mentioned before, Barnes & Noble, Amazon, wherever great books are sold, you can get Francesca Jordan's book, and her story will absolutely inspire you. Francesca, thank you.
It's thanks to you as well, Kate. It's wonderful to be able to talk about my book and have it out in the world.
It's the rich man's world.
Hey, guys.
Why settle for poor quality Poudyarco that's sold by stores and online resellers when you can get Tahibo Tea Club's original pure Poudyarco Super Tea at drinksupertea.com or 818-965-9113. The Tahibo Tea Club's original pure Poudyarco Super Tea is only available at drinksupertea.com. 818-965-9113. 818-965-9113. That's drinksupertea.com.
Ever feel completely down on your luck, whether it's your career or just your life? Do you look at other people and wonder, why them, not me? I'm Kate Delaney. I did it. I admit it. I've learned some valuable and priceless lessons from some of the rock stars I've interviewed over the years, like Sir Richard Branson or the late, great John Madden, and I want to share them. Want to laugh? Want to learn? Want more out of life? Then pick up a copy of my book, Heal Your Own Destiny, Increase Your Odds, Win Big, and Become Extraordinary. Get it on Amazon today.
Complement your health with hemp-derived cannabinoid oil. We've always believed that the closer to Earth, the better it is for our bodies. Our hemp-derived cannabinoid oil is phytocannabinoid-rich, full-spectrum, and organically grown. Finally, hemp made easy, clean, and effective. GCNHemp.com or call 877-878-4203. That's right, we cut through the red tape. It's now available at GCNHemp.com or call 877-878-4203.
First, we decide where we want to go. Then we need to know the best way to get there. Hi, my name's Adam Baratta. I'm the owner of Advantage Gold. We're the highest rated precious metals firm in the country. We teach people how to own physical gold and silver. Now, we've won the Best of TrustLink Award 4 years in a row because we educate our clients on how to buy gold and silver the right way. We don't pay celebrity spokespeople millions of dollars. We'd rather pass that value on to you. Call 800-900-8000 and speak with one of our experts. We'll send you a free gold kit along with my latest number one national best-selling book, The Great Devaluation. Call 800-900-8000. That's 800-900-8000. Get the best information, the best process, the best service, the best value. Call Advantage Gold at 800-900-8000. Call 800-900-8000.
Advantage Gold is not an investment advisor or a tax advisor. Consult with your financial advisor before investing.
Call 800-900-8000.
What if you could cut your heating bills this winter with your existing wood-burning fireplace and not spend thousands doing it? You can with Great Wall of Fire Fireplace Grates. Our U.S.-patented, made-in-America Wall of Fire Grates increase fireplace efficiency, eliminate fireplace smoke problems, and come with a 30-day money-back guarantee. See our grates in action and get free shipping from wallofire.com or call 800-274-7364. Fireplace heat without fireplace smoke. Wallofire.com.
I am so pleased to take you to a beautiful secret location for a conversation with Dr. Sheila Holder. In fact, her book is called Samantha's Hiding Place. She's in a beautiful place, which could be a great hiding place. Dr. Holder, thanks so much for joining us.
Thank you for having me, Kate.
So you got to tell everybody where you are and what it's like.
Well, where I am today, as I look out of my window, there are balmy breezes, the sun is shining, the sky is blue. I'm in beautiful Bermuda.
Oh, Bermuda. We are all now officially jealous, I guarantee. So tell us about the road to writing Samantha's, you know, Hiding Place. What made you write the book?
Well, I didn't set out to write the book. I was taking a postgraduate class in reading. I was the principal of a school at the time, but I wanted to service my kids better. So I was taking a reading class, and in this class, we had to write a story. So a book was not in my mind at all. So in writing the story, when we had to present the story, the instructor liked it, and she asked if she could have it, if she could have my story. And I thought a moment and said, no, if she really likes it, then it must be good. So I'm going to keep my story. So that's how, that was the beginning of the journey to writing the book. And then later, Fiona and I just put it down, you know, because we had to do the story, we had to do a game, and we had to do something else to interest people and the students in the book. So I just put it down, and about 5 or 6 years later, I had a friend who came by the house, and he said, he saw my little manuscript, and he read it. He said, this is a, would make a great book. So I said, really? And that's when I started to write the book. And I had a fun time writing it, too.
And that's the key. And you can tell that you had a fun time writing it. You can hear it in your voice. So tell us about Samantha's Hiding Place. What's the story about?
And Samantha's secret hiding place actually is little bits of my life growing up with my cousins. So in the book, I say she loves to play hide and go seek, and I like to play that as a child also. She likes teasing and being adventurous. And so she wanted this particular day, she wanted to play hide and seek with her entire family since everyone was at home. And when I looked out of my own window at my house when I was little, I could see two beaches. And so I included that in the book, that there were two beaches. And she ran down the hill, you know, to hide. And also when I was growing up, it was part of the place where she went was trees and shrubs and caves. And so I included that into the story.
Wow. And it makes sense because of what we're talking about. That's why I was mentioning Tell Us Where You Are, and you think of hiding places and secret hiding places, and the title's brilliant, Samantha's Secret Hiding Place. And ultimately, when people read the book, what do you hope they take away from reading the novel?
Well, I want children to take away. I wasn't thinking about adults writing the book. I was thinking about children getting outside to play, getting outside to run, because there are so many devices that kids have now. They have iPads and cell phones and computers. I want them to experience adventure outdoors, because outdoors can make you free. I wanted them to feel free. I wanted them to use their imagination and try to find out where Samantha was hiding. I had an opportunity to actually read the book to some children. But when I introduced the book, I had a party. I called it Samantha's Party. And I had, and it was near, it was between the two beaches.
Mm.
And I had, you know, sandwiches and something to drink, and the kids were running around, and I sat them down, and we read the book. And they were wide-eyed and wondering, and they kept asking me, where's Samantha's secret hiding place? And I just smiled, you know, but I wanted them to catch a love of reading. That was another one of my goals.
Well, I bet you did do that by putting them in the setting, by really capturing their imaginations with your words. And you said it. Do you think we've lost something, in as much as devices can be good? Do you think we've lost something in spending time in the outdoors? And it's different for kids growing up now, isn't it?
Yeah, it really is. Yeah, I think we have lost something, although I would never put down devices, because they take kids places too.
Yeah.
When you read a book, it takes you to a faraway place in your imagination. And I think it develops your creativity. So that was part of my goal. Develop the kids' creativity, make them want to read, make them want to turn pages in a book, because I loved to read when I was young. And I want them to have that same love of reading.
Oh, boy, I agree with you so much. I think my mother read 40,000 books in her lifetime, and no exaggeration. And she passed that on, and that makes such a world of difference in how you think, I think your mind, et cetera. And when we talk about Samantha and doing this and how much you enjoyed it, I can visualize another book. Are you going to write something else?
Well, actually, my grandson was the first one to hint to me that, Gran, you need to write another book. You need to write another book about Samantha. And so one day he sat down and he started writing about Samantha and her at a track meet, because he loves to run track. And I thought about it, and just the other day, a title came into my mind, Samantha's Amazing Race. So I have a title and maybe a page or two, but that's as far as I've gone.
Wow. I love it. Love, 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 love it. What was the best part about writing this book?
I think when the book came in the mail and I opened it and I saw the cover with my name and Samantha and one of the beaches. That was a feeling I cannot describe.
Yeah, there's something about the sand in your toes, and there's something about all of that that you've put into this, and your words and wrapping them around children, really. Who are the best ages for your book, do you think? I think anyone can read it. That's why I even throw in adults, because there is a message for adults as well.
Yes. Well, I think I read it to kindergarten, so they were 5. And then first and second grades. And I think first and second grade, so maybe from ages 5 to 8, maybe even taken in the third grade, from ages 5 to 8, I think is the best audience for the book.
Yeah. Did you ever imagine, I mean, certainly you're educated, Dr. Holder, and you know, you talked about taking a class, et cetera. Did you ever imagine, though, that you'd write a children's book?
No, I never did. I never imagined that I would write any book.
and obviously, it struck your grandson. That's why he's thinking, oh, that you know, you write, and he wants to see another book. But what did the rest of the people in your life think about it?
They enjoy it. I have a large picture of Samantha as if she's. I had one of my little cousins model Samantha, and so I have a large drawing that a friend did of Samantha, and I have it in my house so that when people come, they say, "Oh, who's that?" I say, "Oh, that's Samantha," and so I think that's always a motivation. In fact, my little cousin, she was about 9 at the time, she developed her own pen, you know, her own signature for the book. Because when I did go to a bookstore and was signing copies, and she came and she wanted to sign, and she had developed her own signature for the book. So maybe one day she will write.
Right, so encouraging other generations to write as well. Samantha's mm-hmm. Secret Hiding Place, a wonderful book, a great gift, too. So for kids of, I think, of all kinds of ages, but definitely younger ages will work as well. You can get it on Barnes & Noble, Amazon, all great places where books are sold. Dr. Sheila Holder, thank you so much.
Thank you so much for having me. I enjoyed this interview.
And thank you, all of you, for listening to this interview and this show. Make it count, everybody.
I gotta look at you.
Do you have those well-meaning friends who tell you what you ought to be doing with your life? I'm Kate Delaney. I have them. Occasionally I listened and I found myself stuck in dead-end jobs, relationships, and a life I absolutely did not recognize. In my book, Deal Your Own Destiny, I promise you, once you finish it, you won't let people tell you what to do anymore. Learn how to make bold moves that change the course of your destiny. The book is filled with stories that will make you laugh out loud and lessons you can apply right away. If you go to my website, KateDelaneyRadio.com. I have a steal of a deal. Check this out. Just $29.99 for both of my hard copy books. Deal Your Own Destiny, which I just talked about, and my girlfriend's gratitude journal. Perfect gift for girlfriends, wives, or any woman in your life. Again, both books, just $29.99. Click on special offer at KateDelaneyRadio.com.